Well, we are in the middle of a series right now. Last week, we started our three-week series. It's our Easter series. It's called Paid in Full, and I'm excited to look at those stories of Jesus' crucifixion and then the resurrection and beyond as we explore what the implications are for our lives today. Now, this series is going to get us into next week as well, and I'm excited to see what new things God is going to show us through these very familiar stories in Scripture. And so this morning, I, like everybody else, had a busy week this week, but if I nod off, we had our Flat Rock trip. I don't know if any parents have gone on that before. Ken is very tired too. You should have seen Ken running at this trip. It was awesome. Anyway, I spent a good part of this week just chasing fifth graders around. So bear with me if I lose my place, or you know, just throw something at me, I guess, if I seem off track. But my brain's a little crazy this week. But oh, it was so much fun. Anyway, so to kind of recap and get you guys back on track here with us, last week we talked about the work of Jesus dying on the cross, taking us from debt to freedom. And we looked at three different areas of a passage and hashed them out a little bit. The first one was the weight of debt. A lot of times it seems like we don't really take into consideration the weight of the debt that we owe from sin in our lives. Remember, the wage of sin is death. But Jesus took that debt, took our debt to the cross with him. The second was the promise of redemption. We saw Jesus stay focused on his mission of our redemption, and all we have to do is continue to run our race and focus on him. And then the third thing that we talked about was the path to freedom. And if we choose to take this path, then we've been set free. We've been released from the weight of sin and death and the sting of death by the saving work of Jesus, his death and his resurrection. And so today, we're going to pick up on the story on Sunday morning, right? Yes, we're doing that on Sunday morning, but Sunday morning being the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I'm excited to talk with you all for a little bit this morning. We won't keep you too long. But today's message is titled, The Empty Tomb. Now, the word empty can mean a lot of different things, right? Sometimes it's good when things are empty. Sometimes it's bad. And so let's think about this for a minute. If your email inbox is empty, that is good, right? That's a good thing. That's a good feeling to have a clean Gmail when you open up your inbox, right? If your gas tank is empty, that's bad. If your to-do list is empty, that's good, right? If your bank account is empty, that's bad. If a parking spot is empty, that's good, right? It's not about to be. It's about to be full, right? But that's a good thing. But if a coffee pot is empty, that's bad. That's very bad. If a diaper is empty, that's good, right? Especially if it's your turn to change it. That's a great thing. You ever pretend it was full? Like, whew, you wouldn't believe that one. Your turn. You get the next one. Me either. I've never done that. If your refrigerator is empty, that's bad, right? But if your laundry basket's empty, that's good. That means you've caught up on your laundry. Or it means your kid is throwing their dirty laundry under the bed, in which case that's bad. You know, if you're a parent of young children, there's nothing worse than an empty glitter container or an empty glue bottle or an empty marker cap. And if you haven't heard your child for 5 to 10 minutes and you find one or more of those things laying around, your day just got really bad really fast, right? You're looking at a very sparkly mural on your wall. Empty can mean a lot of different things. But for the purposes this morning and with the context of Easter, we're going to operate under the idea that when the tomb is empty, that is a very good thing. In fact, that's the best kind of empty for us. Have you ever stood in a cavern or a tunnel or maybe a large hotel lobby that's all, you know, fancy and marble and just yelled so you could hear how long the echo would last? It's a pretty crazy feeling when you can hear the sound bouncing back at you. If you want to try it, that breezeway out there is perfect when you leave the building. I imagine it's a little eerie doing it into the mouth of a cave. When things are empty, they tend to echo. Have you ever spoken into an empty cup before? There's a slight echo, even in a little cup. I don't recommend you try it in a full cup. It's pretty messy. But the echo is not there when the cup is full. Now, the empty tomb is no different. There's a spot in Jerusalem called the empty tomb that you can visit. Whether it's the real thing or not, it's definitely similar to what Jesus's tomb would have looked like. It's believed to be the real thing. It's a hole in the side of a big rock, and I'm sure that that first Easter Sunday, the empty tomb would have produced quite an echo. You can imagine how that echo must have felt 2,000 years ago as the followers of Jesus spoke into an empty tomb only to hear their reflection of their own voice in return. And so I want to talk about the implications of these ancient echoes today. Essentially, what are the echoes of the empty tomb still saying to us as we return again to that hollow cave where the body of Jesus was raised and the world was changed forever? The resurrection isn't just a historical event, it's a promise of hope beyond the grave, of a new life beyond limitations of this world. It's the power over sin and death, and it's the echo of the truth and hope that we tune our ears to today. All these centuries later, and Jesus is still speaking through the echoes of the empty tomb. So we're going to read Matthew's account of Easter morning together as we jump in today. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 15, it says, "After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be,' or to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And the story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day." Now, this very day, meaning 70 or 80 AD, not 2025. This was written about 40 or 50 years after the resurrection, right? This was an oral culture. So this is being recorded, written down by Matthew years after the fact. But that is the story of the resurrection. So in this passage, you're probably familiar with an angel arriving like an earthquake and rolling away the stone, and his appearance was like lightning, and he terrifies these guards, and they fall over, become like dead men. And as Mary Magdalene and the other Mary approach the angel, he says, "Do not be afraid." And this is something that would have been repeated by Jesus later in verse 10. Now, as one commentary says, "Do not be afraid" was a common statement when the supernatural broke into the natural. But it wasn't terror. It's not terror or fear that we want to focus on or turn our ears to this morning. It was the next thing said by the angel. He said, "I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." Now, this statement still echoes in power today, encouraging believers around the globe in the reality of Christ's victory over death. So that's our first stop this morning. Our first echo is the echo of victory. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. These words shatter the chains of death and despair, ushering in the triumph of life. The empty tomb stands as a testimony to the power of God over the grave, demonstrating that death cannot hold the Son of God captive. But did you know that this wasn't the only empty tomb? In fact, Jesus' resurrection was so powerful that it raised other people from the dead too. Did you guys know this? Kind of crazy, right? We're going to read about it. It's on your screen. Matthew 27, verses 50 through 53. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. That's pretty wild, huh? We talk about Jesus' resurrection a lot, but there's other people that were resurrected through this power. Matthew just says it so matter-of-fact in his account. Right? Jesus' victory over death was so powerful that after his resurrection, Scripture says that the bodies of many holy people who had been dead were raised to life, and then they wandered into Jerusalem after the resurrection and started visiting people. That is some real power. I can't imagine how freaked out I would be if that happened to me. Just imagine hanging out on Sunday morning and Uncle Bob, who passed away in the 80s, is just walking up the sidewalk. That's terrifying. These poor people who hadn't got the news about the resurrection of Jesus yet, they just see all these people who used to be dead. They had to have wondered, what in the world is going on? I wish Matthew would have given us more of an explanation on this. We get two sentences. I wish, you know, we could have had a chapter on this. But we don't. Maybe this was God, maybe this was how he decided to spread the news of the resurrection throughout Jerusalem. I really don't know. All I do know is that this is more proof that Jesus has given us victory over death. Charles Spurgeon says it this way: by his death, Jesus has destroyed death, and by his resurrection, he has torn away the gates of the grave. Quite literally. You see, Jesus had been telling his followers for months and even years that this event would, in fact, happen. And on that very first Easter morning, the reality of Christ's final victory became true before their eyes. Through his resurrection, Jesus conquered sin and death, offering us the gift of eternal life. And so as believers, we get the pleasure of rejoicing and resting in that assurance that death has been defeated. And we too have been given the promise of resurrection into eternal life. Now, the resurrection of Christ and his victory over death, in fact, are so important to our faith that the Apostle Paul wrote in Corinthians, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Pretty important. This power that brought earthquakes and tore the veil of the temple, and an angel that looked like lightning, and dead people up walking around, and Jesus defeating sin and death, is the same power that's echoing all throughout the world this morning, through every church, through every believer, and through all creation. This echo of victory over sin and death is worth celebrating this morning. Now, another echo of the empty tomb that rings out this morning is the echo of faith. A life following Jesus is a walk of faith. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 tells us this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made out of what was visible. So faith echoes out from the empty tomb and into our lives here today. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus repeats the words the angel spoke to Mary when he tells them again in verse 10, do not be afraid. Despite their initial fear and confusion, the woman at the tomb chose to trust in the words of Jesus. Their faith empowered them to be a witness to the resurrection, sharing the good news to those that they came across. Or to say it another way, they shared their faith. Now, the echo of faith from the resurrection is calling us to embrace a faith that carries us in the face of adversity and doubt. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus, as Hebrews 11 says. We're to share our faith in our words, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our prayers, no matter how difficult the situation in front of us may seem. There's an old saying that goes, instead of telling God how big the storm is in your life, start telling the storm how big your God is. And the empty tomb serves as a reminder of the faith that we carry with us. As we return again and again, year after year, back to the empty tomb, we remember that it is indeed empty. Jesus kept his promise to rise again. And it's for that reason that we can continue in our faith no matter what our situation is. The tomb is empty. Death is the worst situation we can face, and it has already been beaten. Our faith makes that a reality to live in every single day. And this faith should give us an endless amount of hope. And that brings us to our last echo this morning, the echo of hope. Eternal hope echoes out from the empty tomb. Going back to 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said, but Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The empty tomb assures us that our lives here on earth are not the end, but rather the beginning of an eternity spent in the presence of God. This reality offers hope to everyone, not just those who are in a good spot, but the weary, the grieving, the burdened, the uncertain. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are reminded that our hope is not confined to this temporary world. It's not bound by time and space. In fact, our hope rests in the Creator of time and space and matter. It's on your screen. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says it like this. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. So our bodies, our tent, is temporary. But God has us a building or permanency in eternity. So whatever you're going through today, no matter what it is, I can assure you that it's not the end of the story. Your suffering and your pain are not lost on God. Remember the pain, the suffering that God went through. He sees every tear, he hears every prayer. And Easter is an annual reminder that God keeps his promises, and that we can trust him, that we can believe in him. He will come through in the end, and that sting of death has been defeated. That is the hope that we have. Or as the Apostle Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's Easter. That's what it means. This is good news. You won't find a better promise on the face of this earth. So, whether you've been coming to church your whole life or this is your first time, if you've been walking this walk of faith, this life with Jesus for 90 years, or this is your first time ever hearing about him, the power of the resurrection is available to you. The implications of the empty tomb are for you. Jesus willingly went to the cross and died for you. He conquered sin and death for you. No matter who you are or what you have done, you are important enough for God to die for. And he wants nothing more than to spend the rest of your existence with you, both here and now on this planet and forever. The echoes of the empty tomb reverberate throughout eternity. The empty tomb proclaims victory over Christ's death, or over Christ over death. It calls us to a faith that can outlast any circumstance, and it offers the assurance of eternal hope, not bound by this world, but into eternity. So this week, as we think about the significance of the empty tomb, may we be reminded of the transforming power of the resurrection, the promise of new life found in Jesus Christ. My hope and prayer for us today as we leave this place is that we would be a people who live in the power of the victory over death, that we would be a people that live out our faith in every situation, and that we would be a people of the hope of eternal life. All this is made possible because of Easter and the echoes of the empty tomb. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for power over sin and death. Thank you that we don't have to live a life limited by this world, that we can live a life of hope in the eternity. God, our tent is temporary, but because of Easter, you have given us a permanent building in heaven. Help us to live into that this week. Help us to be people of grace, not just receiving it, but giving it. Help us to pour out your grace to others as you have so freely and mercifully poured it out on us. Help us to live in this promise and this truth of Easter this week. Help us not to take it for granted. Help us realize the weight of your sacrifice and live as free people, free from a life of sin and free from the sting of death, people who live in your victory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The worship team is going to sing a final song. Our altars here are always open. If you felt God speak to you in any way and just need a place to respond, it's a great place to do it. If not, you can respond at your seat just as well. If you'd stand with us this morning, use these next few moments to just reflect and think and worship.